Welcome everyone to Yachting International Radio. You're with Corinne from The Crew Coach on Your Mental Health. And today I have a very special guest with us. And I'm so grateful for Gemma for having the courage to share her story with us today. A very difficult and challenging story, but where she is today is absolutely phenomenal. Her dreams seem to have blossomed, if I can use the word blossom to fit in with your business. So it's just like a guru in terms of putting flower arrangements together. It's her passion, it's her love, and she has this amazing business. I think we're just discussing our objectives of this call today, this interview. And recently there has been a number of crew members who have been diagnosed with cancer, and Gemma was one of those crew members, and she is going to share with us her story, her journey, her breakthrough. And I'm sure this interview will be very raw and honest, but very powerful. And we want to just to share with you what Gemma's journey has been like. So yeah, welcome Gemma.
Hi. So I mean, I'm not too sure where you want me to start, but I was my cancer is cervical cancer. It's actually incurable, so it's gone now to my lymph nodes. It's incurable but treatable. So I'm currently going through chemotherapy now, and then I will just have to be monitored after. I think I'm having 9 to 10 cycles of chemotherapy, and then after that I'll just be monitored, and yeah, we'll go from there. But so I got diagnosed with, yes, my cervical cancer back in January this year, just gone. Obviously in England we have our smear tests done every 3 years, and it starts at the age of 25. So I first had my one done over here 3 years ago, come back absolutely fine. Had my second one done, which would have been my second one, and that was 3 years later. Come back a little bit abnormal, and he said to me, "Oh, he said I'm going to need you to come back in 3 months." So my 3 months would have been when I would have been in the States, because I was currently head of housekeeping on a boat there. So I was over there. Unfortunately, with costing and stuff, it was cheaper for me to have my second test done over in the States. So had it done there, my consultant here, he was like, "As long as you send through the paperwork, it'll be fine." Done that. Anyway, things kind of escalated really quickly. So I had it done. I had my smear test. He said that I'm going to need to come back for a biopsy, because obviously something showed up abnormal. So done that. And then he said to me, yeah, that I need to go for my cone biopsy. Had a cone biopsy, which is where they take like a triangle out of your, out of your cervix. Had that done. He did inform me and let me know that if it was to come back positive with cervical cancer, that I'm going to need to have a hysterectomy. So I was holding my fingers crossed there. I did at the time have my mum did fly over to the States to have my cone biopsy done. We was hoping and praying, obviously, that I didn't have to have the second surgery. Mm. Anyway, the results come back that it was positive, so I had to then obviously go into hospital to have the operation. The operation was originally meant to be just my cervix being removed. It ended up when I was asleep that they called my mum and said that I needed to have a full hysterectomy, which was obviously a little bit shocking to her. And obviously I wasn't aware until I woke up a couple of hours later. So they took my lymph nodes out as well, because it was showing that there was cancer in my lymph nodes. I had no symptoms whatsoever. Like, I didn't have if you Google symptoms of cervical cancer, I had none of them. I'm fit and I'm healthy. And yeah, it was just the fact that they can't even put a finger on why I've got it. Like, I know people have cancer cells in them all the time, and it's just if they end up like flaring up, and some people obviously have cancer in their genes as well, like families. But yeah, so that happened. So that was a little bit, yeah, obviously it kind of took me a while to get my head around that. But I'm the sort of person that if I this all happened when I was on board. So I didn't actually come home when I had my, when I was getting my test results there. I'm better off if I keep busy. So if I, where I was keeping busy and I was working and we had trips coming up, it was kind of keeping my mind off it. Yeah, I had my moments when I was finished work and I did kind of think about it. But you've just got to be so positive in this. Like your brain, your mind is such a powerful thing that it does react to your body. So the more positive you are, and like the more like happy you are, and you get along like with your life in general, it is better for you. I mean, it is easy for you to go, kind of go into a little black hole. I've seen it, and I've had it myself. So so that happened over in the States. I then needed to have, yeah, so I had my hysterectomy anyway in the States. We covered on board, we covered really, really well, and then they said to me that I'm going to need to start my chemo and radiation over there. Well, unfortunately, the boat that I was on had to leave. We was based down in Key West, so I had to then fly home to back to England because I wasn't medically fit, obviously, to still be on board. So I've come home to England. Luckily, I was put into the system straight away with COVID and stuff. I know that they have put a few, they did stop a few people's treatments because obviously, like COVID and not enough beds and stuff. And obviously people with cancer needed to really, really self-isolate. So I was quite lucky that I got, because I'd already had my surgery, they classed me as someone that could get done straight away. So I come here and got referred to UCLH in London, and that's where I am now, and that's where I'm having my chemotherapy. So it's going really well. On this coming Thursday will be my third cycle of chemo. I have my moments where, like, 6 days after my treatment that I feel a bit like sort of thing. I can only describe it as having a really, really bad hangover. So just think of like your worst hangover, and that's exactly how I feel after that. But it's just, I mean, me starting my business has helped me a lot because it's kept my mind off of it. And I've got such a good like support group here. I've got Gemma, like my best friend, and she's been really good. I've got my friends here. So I think if I didn't have any of them, then it would have been like a lot harder. And the fact that I've already had my surgery, to me, that was the hardest part of it, because it's removing something that's so personal out of you. Like it's removing my ovaries and everything. So that to me was the biggest part. Having the chemotherapy is, I know that it's just temporary. So that's how I'm kind of working it right now. I know that that's temporary, but me having my surgery was like, that's gone now. I can't take that back. So that's why it's such a big, that's why I kind of want to put the word out there that please, 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 like, go. And every time that your smear test is due, please go and get it. And like all the chief stews out there, like go and get your girls to go and get it done, because it's such, like, they called it the silent killer. And it's the same with breast cancer as well. Like, obviously breast cancer, you can get like the lumps and stuff, but with cervical cancer and ovarian cancer, you can get symptoms, but like I had no symptoms. I suppose if I would have left it and I wouldn't have gone for my tests or anything, then yeah, it could have got a lot worse than what it is. But generally they have said to me that my body is fit and I am healthy. So as much as it is incurable, because it has shot up to my lymph node, which happened after, because after I had my surgery, that's when they reckon it moved. So in the States, they do it kind of a long way around. They do it, the surgery and then the chemotherapy and the radiation. Whereas here, they do the treatment first and then the surgery.
Okay.
So if needed sort of thing. So yeah, like it's such an important thing to go and do. And it only literally takes minutes. Like it's not, I mean, people, yes, it is uncomfortable, but it's your life at the end of the day and your health. So yeah, please go and get it done. It's such a big thing to me and to other people. And I know that Gemma done a whole thing with all the gynecologists around the world. So that's all on her website as well. So you can see that, and you can ask me any questions. And so yeah, sorry, I was rambling on a little bit there, but yeah, so it's just so
yeah So what I was going to ask you was the yacht supportive when you had to do your tests and came back on board? Were they supportive and what did that look like?
Yes. Yeah, they were completely supportive. Obviously, it is a big thing for a young girl to go and tell her captain, which is a bit personal. But I originally spoke to my chief stew at the time first, and then she did speak to the captain first of all, and then I went and had a meeting with the captain because I felt a little bit more comfortable then. But no, he was absolutely fine about the whole thing. He said anything you need, like if you have a moment in the day where you just can't deal with it, he said you can just go and take a walk, obviously if we're close to shore. The whole crew was supportive, everyone was just so supportive and so genuinely just like caring, which is such a big thing to, obviously being in yachting, you're away from home, so your boat is your family. I was lucky obviously because I had Gemma on there, so it was, the yacht was supportive going through the whole thing, and they just said anything you need or any appointments that you need to go to, then go. So yeah, so they, my answer was, yeah, they was really supportive.
Fantastic.
Towards the whole thing.
Yeah, and I know, like, I can't imagine, you know, going for surgery, thinking one thing's going to happen, but then you had another thing happen on top of that, and that whole grieving process without being mentally prepared for it. How did you cope with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm quite a positive person anyway. I do suffer from anxiety a little bit, so that kind, but I know, like, I've got my ways of dealing with that, like yoga and meditation and stuff. So, I mean, when I woke up after the surgery, I called my parents first, and then it wasn't until they told me that. I mean, I don't really think I've got my head around it. It's just, I was too out of it really to kind of know what they was talking about when they done it. So I did, obviously they did retell me the next day when I was kind of like awake and a little bit more with it. But it is my health at the end of the day, and I'm lucky to be here now, and I'd rather be healthy than, like, there's all different ways of having children, and I can adopt, and I mean, my mum's adopted, so I have always wanted to adopt a child, so I've got that aspect of it, which is fine. Having children wasn't really what I thought about, like, now, but it's now kind of been taken away from me, but I've been kind of blessed with something else, if that kind of makes sense. So I don't know. I still don't know. Nobody's actually asked me that question, so it's kind of taken me back a little bit. It's something that I'm just going to have to deal with. And I have, I've just started with a personal trainer, and I'm starting to get back into yoga again, which is good. And I meditate and stuff every night before I go to bed. So that's my way of, like, dealing with it. And obviously I express my emotions through my flowers as well, so I've got that to keep me busy. So yeah, so that's kind of how I've dealt with it, I suppose, and like going for walks and stuff. But actually having the surgery through COVID and through lockdown, when I was in the States, it was a big thing, and I was genuinely scared, because obviously I had to go in there on my own. Nobody was allowed in the hospital with me. The same again here, like when I go and have my treatments here, I can only go in on my own. I mean, my mum was allowed to come with me when I first had my chemotherapy, but now it's actually fine. I think I've become an expert at hospitals now, more than anything, to be honest, the amount of times I've been in and out. But everyone's been like incredible, so
amazing. So how do you describe your grieving process? What did that look like? Did you feel like you...
I don't know whether I have gone through it yet, because I'm so busy, obviously, where I've launched my company and my flower stand. I don't know maybe if I was to go on holiday for 2 weeks, that would be different. Maybe I will then, because I would have like nothing to do, whereas right now I am keeping busy. I do think about it, but I would rather like keep busy and not really think about it than like do think about it. I don't think I have gone through the grieving process yet. I think when I was recovering, I think I did a little bit, but again, I was like, I was busy sorting out work, like coming home and where I was going to have my treatment. So again, that was, I was busy there, and Gemma was giving me like little things to do here and there. So, cause I always need to keep busy. I'm no good if I just sit there and just wallow in myself. That's just the sort of person that I am. Mm. Maybe I will, I don't think I have gone through the grieving process yet, because it's all happened so quickly.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, from January to now, I've had like 3 surgeries, I've had untold amount of hospital appointments, and hearing the word cancer all in all was just like another thing. That's why I didn't actually come home. That's why I did stay at work on the boat when I got told, because if I was to come here, then that's when I would end up going into my head. So, yeah. I mean, people have their ways of dealing with things, and that's just my way of dealing with it. And to keep positive as well, like, that's my one thing that I would say, is just no matter how hard it gets, just keep positive. Like, in anything, even in just your general life, like, your body is such a powerful thing. And I'm actually seeing a healer now as well. I've seen him 3 times, like a spiritual healer. I got recommended to go and see him, and the way that he sat down and explained it to me was, he said think of it, when you eat a bar of chocolate, your body feeds off that sugar. He said the negativity is exactly the same thing. He said your body feeds off that negativity, just in general, not just what I'm going through and other people are going through, but just in general, your body does like feed off of that negativity. So he said you just always need to think positive. And I've seen like so many people see me and they're like, you're such like a positive person, and like you would never think that anything's wrong with me, because I am just up and I'm going and I'm getting on with my life. And a friend of mine, an old person on board a boat, she said you just need to pull it in your backpack and take it with you wherever you go. She said it's always going to be there, but you just need to rock on with your life and just get on with it. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm actually I'm proud of myself, because I know how I was before, like with hospitals and stuff, and I've actually overcome so much now. And I'm proud of myself, and it's I just want to put the message out there to everybody. I was rambling again there.
No, that's fantastic, and I completely agree with you. I think mindset is so powerful, and a negative mindset is very toxic. And if you look at the word disease and you break it up into 2 words,
dis-ease,
so that is disease in the body. And yet emotional distress can change into a physical ailment. And there's a great book by Louise Hay called You Can Heal Your Life. Mm-hmm. And it also gives you examples of the emotional meaning behind particular illnesses. And it's really interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my mum just shouted out, we've got that. I think we've actually got, my mum's currently in the kitchen with the flowers, but I think she's just shouted out that we've got that book here. So I haven't actually read it. I didn't know that we had that book, but I will have to have a little look into that now.
Yeah,
she's kind of like just dropped me in there, but no, I will. I will have a look at that book. No, yeah, it is your mindset and everything just in everyday life is just so like your health and your wellness is so important. In everyday life, and it does affect you.
So how has this experience changed you, do you think?
It's definitely made me a stronger, I mean, I was mentally strong anyway, but this has made me like, I'd say 1,000 times headstrong, because I've had to deal with everything myself, and it's go like people can say, oh, like it's okay, I'm here for you, but it's you going through it as a person. Like they're not going through that, like you're actually going through that as a person. So you have to have a really like strong, or try and have a really really strong like mindset and head. And it's really made me, it's actually driven me to do what I want to do now, which was my flower stand. So it's made me such a strong person, and just to like anything can happen in, like, something can happen tomorrow, something can happen the next day. Your life is basically too short to not do what you want to do. So, or like worry about what other people think of you. And Richard, that's gone through my mind as well. And I didn't want people to feel sorry for me with my flowers. That's gone through. Trust me, everything has gone through my mind. Like, I didn't want, I'm in an hour and whether to do my floating florista Instagram, which has now become quite like really successful, because I knew like my personal Instagram and my floating florista Instagram is different. So I haven't actually posted anything on there to do with my diagnosis, just because I didn't want people to feel sorry for me. But to be honest, I sat there the other day and I thought, I'm just being silly. Like, they're not, it's, no one's gonna, people are gonna feel sorry for me, but they're gonna buy my flowers and order for me because they like my work, not because they, but like, so everything does go through your mind. And it's made me such a person, and just to tell myself to stop being silly. Like, I see that sometimes and I'm like, oh, and I'm just like, Gemma, just stop being silly. Like, you just got to get on with it. It's like, it's your life. Like, you are a strong person. And yeah, so it's made me mentally strong and physically strong as well. Like, especially after going through my surgeries and stuff, it's just made me, yeah, like, just to get on with it. I mean, not being able to walk for like a week after I had my first hysterectomy was crazy. But I made myself, I gave myself tasks every day, and I accomplished them tasks when I was there, even if it was just walking for 10 minutes or reading a book or writing down how I feel. It's just, yeah, it's just really put me in a good, yeah, in a good mindset.
Your story reminded me of an accountability call that I did today with a group of mine. And the lady said to me, she attended a webinar where people had to share a gratitude. And one woman had lost 24 people in the space of a year and a half, like close friends or family loved ones. Yeah. And when she was asked to share her gratitude, she said, "I am grateful for death." And everyone was so surprised by her response. And the reason why she said that is that it's taught me to be present, to really listen and pay attention to, you know, where I am right now, who am I talking to, what am I doing, and just to be in the moment. And that's why she was grateful for death.
Yeah.
Life happens so quickly. And as you said, you can get stuck in your own head and you might have all these negative thoughts that really put you down and don't make you feel good. But yeah, being present, I think, really helps in combating all that chatter in our minds.
Yeah, that, and obviously I think everyone can agree, like, it's so easy to get stuck in your head that you just have to, like, let that go and just be there and just be now, basically. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm taking every day as it comes. I mean, tomorrow is obviously, we only launched a flower stand 2 weeks ago, and this Thursday, as in tomorrow, will be the first day that I'm actually going to be there, because I am going through my treatment. And I mean I'm a little bit upset that I'm not going to be there, but I know it's only going to be one day and then 3 weeks and it's going to happen again. So but no, it is what it is, and I'm just going to have to just take every day as it comes. And everyone's allowed to have days where they feel a little bit like iffy here and there. So, and that's one thing that I've learned as well. Like, if I do need to rest, and I am going to rest, like, my body does need to heal, and everyone's body needs to heal. So yeah, I do totally agree with the way that she's said that, like, you do need to be present in everyday life and take every day as it comes, because anything can happen to anyone or to any of you or any of us. So that is a good way of putting it.
I've studied the topic of grieving or grief. And it's really interesting. I've also done an Instagram poll around this, because crew have asked, how do you support someone who is grieving? And obviously there are things to say and not to say. So from your perspective, what is helpful, and how could people support someone who's going through a difficult time like you did?
I would just say just to be there for that person. I mean, it's, I mean, I like the girls on board and all my friends here and stuff, they was absolutely like incredible. I mean, where I actually couldn't physically get up for probably like 5 days, like properly. So I had the chefs on board, because I was recovering in one of the guest cabins, which I was very grateful for. Like, the owners actually found out that I was going through surgery, and they didn't want me to recover on my own, like in a hotel or something. So they actually allowed me to recover on board, which I was very, very thankful for them for allowing me to do that. So I would just say, sorry, I'm really sorry. Yeah, so I just say to be there for the person, and just to anything they need. I would just say to be there. That was my one thing that I would say. And allow them to go through, allow them to go through the motions. I mean, everyone can say, oh, it is going to be okay, which it is going to be okay, but you are allowed to have your days where you feel a little bit funny. And if you just want to sit there and just talk to the person and just kind of ramble on, which I do sometimes, and I have done, which I've done with the girls on board, you just have to, I'll just say just to be there for them and just to like help them in anything that they need. I know, obviously, being in yachting and being on board and stuff, it can get a little bit hard because people get busy and you've got like daily tasks and stuff to do. But I just say to be there for people that are going through things. Everyone is going through things like their own personal battles every day. But yeah, just to be there for that person is my biggest thing. And like, everyone that was there for me, I'm like truly thankful for. And yeah, they always used to come and visit. I mean, I had to self-isolate for 14 days when I come back out of hospital, so they was only allowed to come to the door. But it was okay, because it made me happy. It was nice to speak to people, and even just to come and say hi, or just to sit there and just to, I don't know, watch whatever I was watching on the TV. But yeah, just to be there for people, I'd say, is the biggest thing.
Fantastic.
Out of anything, I would say.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I can hear I can hear three core messages. And that is to get your pap smear done, and for Chief Stu to support baby girls.
Yeah, that's number one.
Happen. And two, positive mindsets.
Yeah, so I've actually heard.
Yeah.
Because I have heard that, I mean, I know sometimes it is busy and you can't always get to appointments, but please, like, if your girls or just anyone in general needs to go for an appointment, especially to do with gynecological issues, I would say, yeah, please make sure you get them to go. And like I said, Gemma's got all the lists of the gynecologists around the world, and I'm pretty sure if you Google them wherever you are, you will be able to find some really good ones. I can even recommend the ones that I went to, and they was incredible. The surgeon that I went to was incredible. So yeah, that's the one big thing, is positive mindset. Go and get your pap smear done whenever you need to go and get it done. I know that it's different in every country, like the age and the how long you have to wait to go and get it done. And yeah, and just to always keep positive. Even just waiting for results. I mean, I've got my CT scan in 3 weeks, which will show whether the treatment is working. And again, I'm going to be, they call it scan anxiety, which I'm going to have that. But I know, if the results come back and it hasn't shrunk again, then they will just give me more treatment and hopefully it will go. So yeah, so just pap smear, positive mindset, and yeah, that's what I would say is the biggest thing.
Thank you so much, Gemma, for sharing your journey with us. My heart really goes out to you, not with sympathy but with for your courage, your bravery, your zest for life. I think it's so inspiring, and thank you for that sharing that with us, because I think it's contagious.
Thank you for asking me to. I mean, it's good that I'm actually in the right frame of mind to share it out now. And it's been, because I've had such like good like comments and stuff from it, and I just need to get like basically spread the word. I know, I have a feeling the word's been spread quite quickly anyway, but no, definitely just please listen to this message. And yeah, it is a big thing, so thank you for asking me to talk about it. And it's good. It's actually made me feel, it has made me feel good to actually talk about it. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Gemma, and sending you lots of love and all the best for your flower stand this weekend.
Thank you. Yes, a floating Calista will be there. So, yeah, so thank you for that. And I will speak to you soon.
Yes, thank you.